Our next speaker is Rugavira Sripathi with the title Genotypic Variation and Genotype by Environment Interactions Among New Switchgrass Populations in Oklahoma. Just for a pointer, if you...
Okay. Thank you all for coming here. My advisor, Dr. Kakani, Dr. Wu, and myself, we are working on switchgrass breeding project to evaluate morphological and physiological variations and GBIE interaction, that is genotype by environment interaction, among new switchgrass populations in Oklahoma. These new switchgrass lines were developed by Switchgrass Breeding and Genetics Program at Oklahoma State University. Coming to switchgrass adapted widely across the United States from south to north, and switchgrass has two ecotypes, lowland and upland. Lowland were prominent in southern United States, whereas uplands were prominent in northern United States. Since it is a native perennial, it has the potential to increase the biomass by breeding program in southern United States, including Oklahoma. Even though it adapted widely across the United States, its biomass and morphological traits were influenced by the regional adaptation between the ecotypes. As we can see in this picture, the right side is the lowland populations and the left one is upland populations. With increasing the latitude from south to north, lowland populations yields were decreasing, whereas upland populations yield increasing, which means that there is a need to develop populations within the target region. If we concentrate in southern United States, then we can develop the cultivars within that can adapt better to the southern region. And in southern United States, Alamo and Cimarron are the only high biomass producing cultivars. So there is a requirement for emerging biofuel industry to develop high biomass producing cultivars within the southern United States. So we hypothesize that new breeding populations produce higher biomass and environment interaction will affect their performance across the Oklahoma. For that, we have two objectives. Our first objective is to evaluate morphological and physiological traits of new switchgrass populations, and our second objective is to study GBIE interaction among these new switchgrass populations in Oklahoma. For first objective, we consider as experiment one, and second objective, we consider as experiment two. For first objective, we have one greenhouse study and one field study. And second objective, we have GBIE interaction at five locations across Oklahoma. Coming to materials and methods, we have 22 switchgrass populations. The below ones are release cultivars, and the blue highlighted ones are lowland populations. And we have, as I said earlier, experiment one is one pod study and one field study. For pod study, we transplanted 22 lines, and field study, again, we did a field study with similar cultivars. Coming to measurements, we took morphological measurements and physiological traits. Morphological traits including plant height, tiller density, leaf number, and leaf length. Physiological traits including photosynthesis and stromatal conductance, electron transport rate, and leaf area. We did similar kind of measurements even under field conditions. Along with that, we tracked the photosynthesis from May to August in year 2011. Coming to experiment two, genotype by environment interaction study, we have five locations that representing different regions within Oklahoma. And coming to measurements, we measured plant height, stand density, tiller number, and dry biomass across five locations. This picture is a protocol which we used for stand establishment across the five locations. We sown the seed in the small pots, and we transplanted into containers. We transplanted into the main field. The last figure is the established stand under field condition. Coming to statistical analysis, we did one-way ANOVA to see the significance difference among 22 populations. Later, we did principal component analysis, because since we have many traits, so we just want to look at the traits which are most influencing in differentiating different genotypes. And experiment two, we did ANOVA analysis for GBIE study. This bar chart is from the greenhouse study. As we can see here, the new genotypes produce high biomass than the Czech cultivars Canlo and Alamo. Since these new populations varied in biomass, we couldn't find any significant difference within the southern lowland and within the northern lowland. So we did grouping between the ecotypes, and we couldn't find any significant difference either among the new ecotypes groups within the southern lowland, northern southern lowland, and northern lowland for biomass, tiller density, and plant height. This picture is a principal component analysis. This principal component analysis is for 7 morphological traits and biomass. And we found biomass and plant height, days to panicle initiation, and leaf length were most influencing traits to rank the best performance of these new lines. And we have principal component 1 and principal component 2 account for almost 75% of total variability for all these traits. And one more thing we found here was our principal component 1 and principal component 2 are able to separate uplands and lowlands for all these EI traits. This is a similar kind of analysis for physiological traits, 10 physiological traits, and we found photosynthesis and pigment concentrations, chlorophyll A, chlorophyll B, and carotenoids are best explaining the performance of these 4 genotypes. And here, principal component 1 and 2 are unable to separate lowland and upland populations for 10 physiological traits. As we can see here, all these genotypes were pretty much scattered than the previous slide. This is from the field study. We evaluated photosynthesis from May to August. This figure, we can see the decreasing photosynthesis from May to August. This might be due to the severe drought conditions. We got around 1 inch rainfall for 3 months and about 90 degree Fahrenheit and average temperature for 3 months in Stillwater. This is to look at the photosynthesis variation among different ecotypes groups, and we can see here from May to August, photosynthesis was decreasing almost across all the genotypes and ecotypes groups. Even though it's decreasing, southern lowland performed better even under stress conditions in June, July, and August. This PCA analysis graph is from the field study. We evaluated EIT morphological traits, and we found leaf number, phytomer number, and tiller height were best explaining the performance of all these genotypes. And again, we found the similar kind of results with the 2 principal components were able to separate uplands and lowlands. This figure is from the genotype by environment interaction study. These are the biomass yield of 5 plants across the 5 locations. And as we can see here, some genotypes, southern lowland genotypes, are performing better than the release Czech cultivar Alamo. This is for the tiller density per plant across the 5 locations. And southern lowland genotypes have the potential for high tiller density than the Czech cultivar. It's a mean plant height across 5 locations, and we can see here plant height was better than the Czech cultivar for a few genotypes. This is a stability analysis for biomass across 5 locations. These are the locations means and different ecotypes means here. As we can see here, from the low-yielding environment to high-yielding environment, the biomass stability was high in northern lowland genotype and southern lowland genotypes, which was almost similar to the Czech cultivar Alamo. Coming to conclusion, based on our field study and the greenhouse study, we concluded that northern lowland genotype was high-yielding with superior morphological and physiological traits under greenhouse conditions, And the principal component analysis was able to separate the morphological traits between uplands and lowlands, whereas principal component was unable to separate for physiological traits among the genotypes. Our preliminary results from the GBI interaction study from the establishment year shows that some genotypes have the potential, like northern lowland 94C24 and the southern lowland genotypes have the potential for high biomass. And we are going to evaluate this study for one or two more years to conclude which genotype is performing much better across the Oklahoma. Finally, I would like to acknowledge my advisors, Dr. Kakani, Dr. Wu, and Dr. Clark, the Oklahoma Bioenergy Center for their funding, and my part-time students and my fellow students for helping me in this project. Thank you.
There's plenty of time for questions.
Could you please pardon me, please? Yeah.
How did you conduct the transflow component analysis? Did you separate the veins or leave them alone?
We sorted by the genotypes based on the two principal components, and these lines are eigenvalues for different traits.
Are there different ways to do transflow component analysis? Sometimes you can center the main by subtracting the main from all the values. Other times, how do you handle the variation to make it consistent or not between the original variables?
We just took the mean values among 22 lines, 22 populations, and we did PCA analysis on that.
Are there other questions? Well, I have another one, and this also relates to, for those of us who don't use PCA, it's a little spooky. So I guess what I would ask you is, seeing that you could separate the genotypes using principal components, what practically can you do with that information? What will you do with the PCA information?
PCA information. We just want to look at the genotypes, which one is performing best, for different traits. So we found these genotypes were performing better by influencing by these traits.
The genotypes in this particular
corner? Yeah. The first corner, and generally what principal component analysis does was separate the traits based on the performance. This one was the best performing, and followed by these, followed by the other portion, and the.
Thank you very much.